Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wassalamun ala ibadihi allazina istafa. Amma ba'd. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم من يطيع الرسول فقد أطاع الله صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters that are listening, inshallah, just to continue with our seerah program. In the last session, we covered a very important topic, and that is about revelation, wahi, how wahi came down upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And if you remember, Jibreel Amin came to him, and for the very first time, a complete new experience for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Jibreel Amin said to him, Iqra, read. And he said, Ma ana biqari'in, I can't read. Now some of you might be wondering that why was Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, I can't read? What was there to read? The scholars have mentioned that in the Arabic language, Iqra has two meanings. One is to read, that is in a paper format, that something that is in front of you. And it can also mean to recite. It can also mean to recite. And so for the first time when Jibreel Amin came, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was thinking that Jibreel Amin wanted him to read from something. So he said, Ma ana biqari'in, that I can't actually read. And then that squeeze, that very tight hug that came from Hazrat Jibreel Amin. And then the second time also a tight hug, and then the third time this very tight hug that was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, this is mentioned in the hadith. What is the wisdom? Allah knows. But scholars have mentioned that this very tight squeeze was a reminder that Jibreel Amin, obviously most of his time he spends up in the celestial creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heavens. And the mission given to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in this dunya. So one is the arsh and one is the farsh. And so it was also a reminder that if someone wants to achieve anything in this dunya, he will have to strive. He will have to go through a bit of pain, a bit of difficulty. Everybody will have to go through that. If you want to reach your goal, you have to work very, very hard. If you want to become a hafiz of the Quran, it's not just going to be that you have the copy of the Quran in front of you. You will have to wake up, you will have to strive, you will have to concentrate, you will have to work extremely hard to achieve something. And so, in this dunya also, for someone to achieve something, it is important that they understand. One is your physical endeavor, which is also very, very important, as well as your mental endeavor. So these are things that go hand in hand, and it's very, very important. Another wisdom that scholars have mentioned that nobody is to say that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must have seen a dream. So that is why Jibreel Amin gave a bit of a tight hug, that this is not a dream. This is not a dream. Just like some people actually say, Mi'raj was a dream. When in reality, Mi'raj was not a dream. What is so fascinating if it was a dream? If Mi'raj was just a dream, then a person can dream about all sorts. A person can dream about Jannah, a person can dream about everything. Then what would be so unique for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And so of course the scholars have mentioned that this was not a dream. And so in reality, Hazrat Jibreel Amin also gave a very, very tight hug to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so this was the very first time the ayats, the verses of the Quran were revealed to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is the format? How is revelation revealed? And especially to a Nabi, of course. So what is the method? What is the criteria that is mentioned in the Quran? We will look at that. There is one ayat of the Quran, and with this ayat kareema, the shani nuzul, which means why it was revealed, the reason for its revelation that is explained, is that when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the Jewish community and said to them that I am the Nabi of Allah, and this is the Quran, the Kalam of Allah, and you have to obey me. So they said that what proof have you got that this is the revelation, this Kalam is from Allah? Number one, you have not seen Allah. And number two, you have not had a meeting face to face with Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So why should we believe you that this is the message that is revealed to you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to them, because they were saying, Musa alayhi salatu wa salam saw Allah, and he was in that meeting with Allah face to face. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them that this is not the case. Jibreel Amin that comes, and even for Musa alayhi salatu wa salam to be in this dunya in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is incorrect. And so it was behind the veil, and he is Kalimullah, but it was not in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the ayats and the verses of the Quran were revealed. وَمَا كَانَ لِبَشَرٍ, that it is not possible for any human being, أَن يُكَلِّمَهُ اللَّهِ, that they can communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Illa wahyan, except for wahyan. Here, wahyan means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place something in the heart of a Nabi. And this infusion of information that is kept in the heart of a Nabi, that he will know that this is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is from Allah. Or what will happen is that behind the veil, أو من وراء حجاب, behind the veil, that a Nabi is given some information, أو يرسل رسولا, or a messenger, as in an angel will come and will transmit the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to that prophet. Now we need to understand also, my respected brothers, that they are very, very important questions that as human beings we want to know. And insan, Allah has given him a brain and he is very inquisitive. He wants to know about everything. He wants to know about everything. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the only method how he communicates with his creation is by wahi. Only by wahi. This is the only door, this avenue that is open, whereby information is given to insan which no one else can give him that information. No one else. That is why, alhamdulillah, and I have mentioned this on a number of occasions, but it is always good to remind one another, and it can save our iman, that the kuffar, their level of knowledge is only the five senses and the intellect. Ghair Muslim, their only level of knowledge is the five senses and the intellect. Now imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used this description in the Quran so many times to describe a kafir. Summum bukmun umyun. They are deaf, dumb and blind. Halanki, if you look at technology, you will find that the non-Muslims are pioneers. They're working very hard in every department. They are not blind. Certainly they are not blind. The kuffar are not deaf. And they are not dumb. They are also very, very qualified people. Very intelligent people. But all the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing them only at one level. That they are deaf, dumb and blind. Summum bukmun umyun. Deaf, dumb and blind. And you will find this throughout the Quran. And then Allah is also saying, فَهُمْ لَا يَعَقِلُونَ. Only if they also had an understanding. Because even the brain that Allah gave them, they did not use it in the right way. So why are they deaf, dumb and blind? They can see everything. They can see everything, they can hear everything. They can speak, they have the knowledge. Why? The reality is they are cut off from real knowledge, and that is revelation. So they are not willing to see the truth. They are not willing to hear the truth. And they are not willing to speak the truth. That is why they are deaf, dumb and blind. So the only people who in this world are not deaf, dumb and blind, and who are very, very intelligent people, are the Muslims. Intelligence does not mean that you have designed this Airbus, this, you know, computer or any kind of other technology that we know of, subhanallah. That is just, exercising your mind. But the real intelligence is to know your Allah. And so a Muslim is out from the five senses and his intellect, and his real knowledge is always connected to revelation, to wahi. That is why you will find blatant lies in this dunya. Open lies. This dunya is full of lies. People have iman on science. People have iman on science. And they change your mind in such a way that if it can be proven scientifically, it is right. Ajib. What can be proven scientifically, it can be right? First of all, your entire understanding of how you came in this dunya, you don't even understand. How you came in this dunya, you don't even understand. And especially in the modern world. If you are not a Muslim, then slowly, slowly you become mad. Slowly, slowly you will become mad. You see the things that they are teaching our children in schools. Allahu Akbar. Allah save us. This great confusion that is there. That you don't even know who you are. From a young age, they want to indoctrinate. They want to change the mindset. From a young age. And if you are not connected to revelation and wahi, finished, khatam ho gayi baat. We will lose it, my respected brothers. That is how important wahi and revelation is. And so, revelation is a ni'mat of Allah that is going to answer the questions which nobody else can answer. We will look into the very first ayats that were revealed. Subhanallah, ajeeb kalam of Allah. and how Allah did His ta'aruf, His introduction to the human beings. So inshallah, first just to cover the different levels of wahi. And so I have written here 6 points, just all the different levels of wahi that you will find in the books of seerah. The first category of wahi, of course, was in the form of dreams. But remember, one is the dream you and I see, and one is the dream that a Nabi will see. The dream that a Nabi will see, that is haq, and that is from Allah, and he will know exactly what to do. If there is something that he is shown, then immediately he knows that this is the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are the different types of revelation. The very famous account of this is Ibrahim alayhi salam. Inni ara fil manami anni azbahuka fanzur madha tara. And he said that, oh my son, I am actually seeing that I've put a blade, a knife on your throat. Fanzur madha tara. What is your opinion? What is your opinion? Imagine in the modern world, this text, how are they going to translate this? When everything is child abuse. When everything is child abuse. The father can't even tell his child off. And in school, they brainwash him to believe that, you know, you've got your own rights. You've got your own rights. That your father can't say anything to you. I remember many, many years ago, this is when I was still very, very young. And so I was downstairs and there was this mastikhor talib-e-ilm. Mastikhor talib-e-ilm. So I said, come and sit in front of me. I said, now pray. So you get children that are very cheeky. So I was not looking down. So I put my hand behind the head like this. And I said, look down. Look down. Look. Ab itna hi maine kiya. That's all I did. Gunahe kabira. What happened? Gunahe kabira. So now the parents are also trained like that. You know, to tighten the screws with the molanas and all that. Next day, the parents complain, Maulana was choking my son, he could not even breathe. Ya Allah. I said, you know, my two hands, if I was to choke a child, believe me, he would not breathe. Maine kaha, kuch to sharam ho, kya hai? Now this is the word of your madrasa student against an ustad. Not only ustad, but in a class of at least 20 students. Maine kaha, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'oon. See. From parents with children. But of course, it is wrong for an ustad to, you know, beat up a child in a way that he is bleeding and, you know, bruise him. Of course, this is all un-Islamic. And this is not also right. So one extreme is this side, so this is also not Islamic. But then the other extreme is also this side, that any kind of islah, any kind of telling off, is considered as abuse. But look at here, the Quran is saying, the father is saying, beta, I've put a knife on your throat. Look at the obedience level. Abba Jan, if'al ma tu'mar Abba, oh my father. Look at the obedience level. If you have to slaughter me, Abba, do it. Look at the level of iman. Think about it. Satajiduni insha'allahu mina sabirin. That is why in the Sharia it is nice that you feed the animal of your qurbani. Make it stouty, strong, keep it in your garden. See, like, mashallah, we can't keep it here. Umar, you got something in your garden? You live in the gardens anyway. Wington Valley Gardens. You haven't got anything. Chalo, nahi hai. So, you know, mashallah, you make that animal a bit, you know, healthy, mota, tagda ho jaye. And then, you know, you've got that kind of love with that animal. And then when you have that love and connection, then Allah is telling you, now put a knife on the throat of that animal. That is iman. What is it? That is iman. That is to show that your love is only for Mere Allah. Make it thick, mota, janwar, pani do, jo bhi do, khila usko. This is the qurbani animal. People used to take it all the way, you know, to Saudi Arabia, mashallah, traveling from different regions. You know, you've got that bonding that with that animal now. And then Allah is telling you now, cut. This is what we call iman. Allah's Nabi said to Bibi Fatima, stand, have a look. Have a look at your animal. So a Muslim, mashallah, even the emotions are only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah al-Azim. So the first level was about dreams. So many dreams came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the second level of wahi is called ilham. Ilham means that Allah will put something directly in the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why the ahadith is considered to be a form of wahi. What is it? A form of wahi. One type of revelation. Of course, not the Quran. The Quran is qat'i. And it's called wahi matlu. Revelation that is recited. But the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are called wahi but ghair matlu. Wahi that is not recited. So it is still categorized as revelation because a Nabi can never speak anything that is inaccurate. He will only speak the truth. In one hadith it comes that Allah put in my heart. Kya hadith hai? لَن تَمُوتَ حَتَّى تَسْتَكْمِلَ رِزْقَهَا. That death will not come to a person until he has completed his rizq. He has completed his rizq, rozi. حَتَّى تَسْتَكْمِلَ رِزْقَ. If there is nothing allocated for your stomach, then it's time for you to go. It's time for you to go. And so Allah's Nabi said that this also Allah put in my heart. So there are so many ahadith. So that is why even the hadith is protected. Even the hadith is protected. So ilham, something that Allah puts in the heart of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That is a second level of wahi. The third level of wahi the ulama have mentioned is whereby an angel comes, aw yursila rasulan, as the Quran says. A rasul is sent. Rasul as in an angel, because an angel is also a rasul, messenger of Allah. But he comes in a human form. And that was a bit easy for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Jibreel Amin came in the form of a human being also. And so Sahaba had asked that, you know, whose form did Jibreel Amin take the most? So the most handsome in Arabia, known for his beauty, they used to call him Yusuf of this Ummah from the companions, was a Sahabi whose name was Dahya Kalbi. Hazrat-e Dahya. Very, very handsome. In fact, an incident happened when the Muslims were preparing for Banu Qurayza, and Allah's Nabi asked the companions, did you see anyone moving from here? They said, surprisingly, we only saw Dahya walking towards Banu Qurayza. So Allah's Nabi said, that was not Dahya, that was Jibreel Amin. Zara dhamkane ke liye ke. Zara kya ke? Zara dhamkane ke liye ke. Jibreel Amin, that was Dahya. So Dahya Kalbi was a Sahabi that Huzur alayhi salam said that, you know, Jibreel Amin would also come. So different levels. And then the fourth level, as mentioned, is Salsalatul Jaras. This was a bit difficult, with a bit of pressure, whereby Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam would hear, you know, a strong level of sound, a lot of noise, like, you know, bells that are ringing continuously. like a jet engine, that's always there. And this was the sound of the wings of the malaika. That was the sound of the wings of the malaika. And the sound of the wings of the malaika, that noise was a bit heavy for Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam, and revelation sometimes would also come to him in this manner. And then sometimes he had also seen Jibreel Amin in his original form, and wahi came to him. And then lastly, of course, behind the veil. So this also happened. So for an example, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was behind the veil. Aliyazu billah, it doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on the other side of the veil. In fact, this is to show that how weak a human is, in fact how weak even a Nabi is for that matter. Nobody can visualize the noor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is just a way of explaining. So behind a veil, in fact Jibreel Amin himself, it is said that any message given to me by Allah is behind 70,000 veils. How many veils? 70,000 veils, and not the veils of this screening of this dunya. Allah knows the screening of the hereafter. And so it is not possible for a human being to have any kind of an attachment, or, you know, to get physically very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not at all, especially not in this dunya. Perhaps the closest anyone can ever get to was in Mi'raj, when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam crossed even the borderline where Jibreel Amin would be, and he went forward. And there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke with Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So even in terms of wahi, that highest level of wahi, revelation is given to who? Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so when we look at the tafsir, the very first ayats that were revealed to Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Iqra, the first five ayats. Iqra wa rabbukal, Iqra bismi rabbikal lazi khalaq. Iqra bismi rabbikal lazi khalaq. So Iqra means to read. And then read with the name of your Lord. Iqra bismi rabbikal lazi khalaq. The first revelation, Iqra, to read. Why to read? Why always it's the word Iqra? Because that is how the Quran is going to be preserved. The Quran is going to be preserved only by recitation. So a hafiz of the Quran also, he will commit it to memory only by reciting. And that is why the name that is given to the Kalam of Allah is Quran. What is it? Quran. And Quran means a book that is continuously read. So there is no book on the face of this earth that is recited like the Quran. Imagine, nobody reads like the Quran. In fact, there is no scripture can be recited like how the Quran is recited. No scripture at all. Because this is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then with the name of your Lord, what does that mean? The scholars have mentioned that here it is said that every time you read the Quran, a person should always read this statement, tasbih of Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So one is your ta'awuz. Ta'awuz is a'uzu billah. This is also hukam of Allah in another verse of the Quran. So this is the hukam of Allah. Fasta'iz billahi minash shaitanir rajim. So a person is required to also say a'uzu billah. And in this ayat-e-kareema, he is also required to read Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So when you read the Quran, when you start, you read ta'awuz and Bismillah. And then the second meaning here is that you read with the name of your Lord is to show Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that although you are unlettered, that you can't read and you can't write. You can't read and you can't write. Why could he not read and why could he not write? Obviously, if you know how to read, then the question is, how do you know how to read? How do you know how to read? And if you know how to write, the question is, how do you know how to write? So if you know how to read and you know how to write, then there is a possibility the mind will drift some in the direction of a teacher. In the direction of a teacher. Aliyazu billah, that there must have been a teacher that has taught the Nabi of the time, which is not possible. So all of these possibilities have been removed from the beginning, from the very outset. That he could not read and he is not going to write. However, O my Nabi, because you are only going to read what Allah is going to tell you to read, the kalam, the speech that comes out from your mouth will be the most eloquent. That is why you will find that Huzur alayhi salatu was salam's power of speech was so eloquent that he could speak in all the different dialects. All the different dialects. And his recitation of the Quran was amazing also. Subhanallah. Very amazing. And if you look at the ahadith, the speech, the statements of how Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, very, very few words, but very powerful meaning. Very few words, but very powerful meaning. So this eloquence that was given to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also by Allah, and in the first revelation, this is mentioned that Iqra bismi rabbikal ladhi, that you are reciting and reading with the name of your Lord. Now, from all the names of Allah, Allah chose in the first ayat verse that was revealed one name, and that is, what is it? Rabb. What is it? Rabb. This attribute of Allah, Rabb. This Rabb is a very mighty, powerful name of Allah. And this Rabb has been used here, that read with the name of your Rabb. What is the meaning of Rabb? Rabb means someone who takes care of all your needs. Someone who takes care of all your needs. That is why in the Urdu language, we will say, who is this person? My Murabbi. Who is he? My Murabbi. Murabbi means the one who is doing my tarbiyat. The one who is nurturing me in the right way. Who is doing my... The parents are called Murabbi. Because they look after the children. So they are also Murabbi. Mother is a Murabbi. Father is a Murabbi. They do tarbiyat. So Allah is the one who is your sustainer, your nourisher, and your protector. And so Allah looks after you in your needs. All the time, He is there to protect you. And so this was a very powerful name of Allah given to him as a first revelation to remind Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you will go through different challenges in life, but don't forget He is your Rabb, that means He is your protector. And then Allah puts another very powerful, powerful attribute. This we need to understand. And Allah says, Iqra bismi rabbikal ladhi khalaq. And Allah, who is your Murabbi, He is the creator. He is the... Allah didn't say the creator of what? Allah says khalaq. That means that Allah is the creator of everything. Everything. So this universe, this dunya, this macrocosm has been created by who?
Allah.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the creator. Now, this is an answer given to human beings. A human being is very important, very inquisitive. So when he comes in this dunya, he wants to know, who am I? How did I come about in this dunya? You know, who made me? Everything around him, he knows that this is made here, made here. Everything we know made in China. Everything is made in China. China ko le lo bhai, sab kuch made in China. Everything made in China. So when he looks at himself, yaar, made in kahan likha hai? Kuch likha hai? Where is he made in? So he goes to, you know, his teachers and he goes to the university. Excuse me, do you know where I am made in? So these Gandhi professors told him, you are all monkeys, evolution happened, this mighty change happened. And look how clever they are. You know how they talk. Main to hasta hun. And you know, 40 million years ago. Kiske abbaane 40 million years dekha? A change happened. Ab 40 million years. Kya? Ye phank nahi to kitni bari phank? Kitni bari phank? 40 million, 50 million years ago. Arre million to kam ka, billion kehte, kya kehte? Billion kehte, sorry yaar. Maine to meri phank kam ki. To billion years kehte. And they love to say all this. Who has seen billions of years? You know, even if you look at the count from Ibrahim alayhi salam to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibrahim alayhi salam made dua for the coming of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many years can that be? In fact, go back to Adam alayhi salam. So, what they said, they don't even know. So, this is the biggest prank, the biggest six, biggest lie. And you see, billions of years ago, changes happened. And itni zabardast change, that fish became a human being. Allahu Akbar, fish became a human being. Can you imagine fish becoming a human? What a mighty change. But they will still not admit to Hazrat A. So they don't know who they are. So where am I made in? Where am I made in? So modern world is not going to answer you, because if they tell you the truth, you are trapped. You will have to become a Muslim. So it is only Allah, and Muslim children need to be educated about this. That Allah created Adam alayhi salam. Allah created Adam alayhi salam. So, some important questions have been answered here. One, read. This first reading here is sacred knowledge, wahi. What is it? The first ikra. What is it? Read, Quran. So, before anything in this world, that is why in Surah Rahman, Allah says, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Arey bhai, paro na, Ar-Rahman. Allamal Quran. Then, Khalakal Insan. Even before the takhliq of insan, Allah brings the Quran. You are only an insan if you are related to the Quran. If you are not related to the Quran, then as the Quran says, deaf, dumb, blind people have no knowledge. That is why, my respected brothers, you know, when you see someone, you know, who is in a three-piece suit and speaks, you know, this high language and talks about this, you know, you should not be scared of these kind of people. Marub ham Musalman, rob marub ho jate, dar jate. We have the Quran by... We have the Quran. Main to bahut khol kar bolta hu. Bahut khol kar bolta hu. Alhamdulillah, be very proud. As a Muslim, you have to be very proud. And why shouldn't we be proud? We have the Quran. The real knowledge is the Quran, the kalam of Allah. And so this is the real, without revelation you are nothing. So ikra means sacred knowledge here. With the name of your Lord. Bismi Rabbik. Here, I want to talk about ba, this ba is ma'iyat and all this, it will be too deep then. So, ikra bismi rab, and we explain rab and allazi khalaq, that Allah is the creator of everything. Now, the question is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I am putting a claim that I have created everything. I have created everything. Is there anyone else that is making this claim? Is there anyone else that is making this claim? Do you know anybody, have you read any books that somebody said, I have made the eyes for you, I gave you legs, I gave you the kidneys, I made you, I made the sun, I made the moon, I created this, I created that. Wallahi lazim, even the 30 million gods in the Hindu religion, I don't think they make this claim. Wo to bas, wo to chuhe aur in cheezon mein hi pare hue. Theek hai na? Well, who has made a claim? As Ahmad Didat would always say, did Jesus say, worship me? Did Jesus say, I created you? Has he said that? Has he said, anyway, I created the sun, the moon? Anyway. And you will find that from Adam alayhi salam until the day of Qiyamah, koi maa ka laal nahi hai that they can put, make a claim like this besides only Allah. Nobody makes this claim. So Allah is saying from the very first ayat, if we can understand the very first ayat revealed, the opening of the Quran, we can save our iman. Allah is saying, there is no one who is a khaliq except for Allah. This power is given to no one. No one. I met this Peer Saab. This Peer Saab would put his hands on the stomach of a woman, and the woman would say, Peer Saab, I want a boy. So the Peer Saab would say, oh, oh, go. And the Peer Saab, I want a girl. Oh, so, main bhi aisi phunke marta hoon. Mujhe bhi famous kar do, bhai. Kya hai? Mujhe bhi tum famous kar do. Say to the people, Mauli Saab also does phunke. Samjha aisi phunke. So, aise Peer Saab hote hai, they give you boys and girls, sab pakhandi kisam ke. What are they? All charlatans. What are they? Imposters or badmash log. So nobody does nothing. Khaliq is who? Allah. Only Allah subhanahu. And even the magic that is shown to you, that is magic only done to your eyes. But in reality nothing changes. The change only comes if Allah wants it to change. Like the stick of Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam's stick actually changed from being a stick to a snake. That is haq. That is haq. That was not magic. That is why the magicians had to fall down in sajda, and the magicians knew the tricks. They knew the game. So they fell into sajda and they said, no, no, this is not our magic. This is Nabi. This is the Nabi of Allah. This is mu'jiza given to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So the first ikra here is sacred knowledge. So zara Quran ke ayat pare, ikra bismi rabbikal ladhi khalaq. And then khalaqal insana min alaq. Now Allah is answering another very important question. You know, the first question a human being will have, who created the sun, who created the moon, who created the trees, the mountains, the fruits, everything what we are eating. Allah is saying, I'm the creator of everything. And then now Allah is talking about the noblest creation of Allah, the most powerful creation of Allah, is this insan. Is this insan. So now insan might be wondering that, you know, Allah has created everything, so who has also created me? Mujhe kisne create kiya? So Allah is saying, khalaqal insan. Now this question, who created me? If you ask a kafir, he will not give you a straight answer. If he is not a man of faith, he will never give you. He'll say, we don't know, father, 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 big bang, something happened, chemicals exploded, all of a sudden things worked out to be perfect, and we are living in this perfect world. But he can't take the name of Allah. He can't take the name of, he has to go this through this long route, get lost in the jungle, get lost in the ocean, and get lost in the galaxies that Allah has created. He doesn't know what is happening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, close everything. Khalaq al-insan, insan has been created by a blood clot, congealed blood. Alaq means congealed blood, blood clot. Now how is this blood clot, this microcosm? Ek to macrocosm hai na puri dunya, aur ek insan. You know, this, he is this powerful analog of this entire complex universe. Insan is so powerful, right? He's so powerful. So Allah has created this insan. Allah is saying, look, you know what? Of course your creation before is made out of the main four elements, which is earth, water, air and fire. So you've been created by these four elements. And then your procreation, who are you? Allah is saying, you are rejecting me. Think about how you are created. You are created by one drop of semen. One drop of semen. Not even millions, just one drop of semen. That is how Allah creates you and you are rejecting Allah. I mean, does this just happen automatically? Or how are you going to explain this? This is what Allah is saying. فَلْيَنْزُرِ الْإِنسَانِ. You know, insan should think, mimma khulik, how he has been created. So one drop of sperm, all of a sudden, how all these things through different stages, phases that insan is going through. Then Allah is saying, then this one drop of sperm becomes blood clot, congealed blood, which is the foundation of the embryo. So khulikal insan min alaq is the embryo that Allah is speaking about, that the main blood clot, which is the very foundation of the embryo that settles in the womb. So Allah is saying, who has created you? I have created everything. I am your murabbi. And what you have to do is connect to the sacred knowledge. Look at the verses of the Quran. And Allah is saying, خَلَقَ الْإِقْرَى بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقْ خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ عَلَقْ. And then, Iqra, this is the second Iqra. What is it? The second Iqra. Iqra wa rabbukal akram, and read, and your Lord is the most gracious. This second Iqra here has two meanings. The second Iqra here in this dual mentioning is because our duty is to continuously talk about revelation. About wahi. And wahi is of two types. One is the Quran and one is the hadith. So we have to continuously be talking about wahi. That this is the message of Allah. This is the message of the Quran. This is the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That is why it's mentioned twice, that you continuously read, you continuously recite. That is why it is a practice amongst the Muslim Ummah, that when you finish Waladdallin or Qul A'udhu Birabbin Nas, you start from Surah Fatiha, Alif Lam Mim, because the recitation of the Quran never ever stops. And then Allah is saying, your Lord is the most gracious. So Allah is explaining here, I created you. I haven't got an agenda to create you. I didn't create you so that you people worship me, aliyazu billah, by your ruku, by your sujood. There's some kind of a competition that, you know, Allah's zat, there will be some form of elevation and honor and anything like that. Allah is saying, no, nothing. I have no gharz, there is no ulterior motive for me to create you. I could not, if I wanted, I would not create you. But وَرَبُّكَ akram, Allah is the most gracious. Allah only created you for your faida. Allah did, nobody said to Allah that, you know, you have to create us. Allah out of His infinite mercy created insan so that they can have Jannah. So that they can live eternally. For a person to enjoy that garden of bliss eternally. So Allah is saying, I am the most gracious. Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram. And so you have two Iqra here. So in Islam, the scholars have mentioned one, and the most important knowledge foundation is the Quran and the Hadith, which we call the Madrasa. And then the second Iqra is about the different knowledge and different sciences of this dunya. But even the different sciences of this dunya, you will receive only by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iqra wa rabbukal akram. Alladhi allama bil qalam. So Allah taught you by the pen, because there are two ways of acquiring knowledge. One is by your mouth, by your speech. And one is to record knowledge and write it down. And write it down. This also Allah gave you the knowledge. Allah gave you the kalam. That is why the first Nabi to write is Idris alayhi salam. The first Nabi to write was Idris alayhi salam. And communication, speech, it is said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Adam alayhi salam the knowledge of all the languages that are spoken in this dunya. So French, Adam alayhi salam could speak. Portuguese, Adam alayhi salam could speak. Huh? What are the language, Umar sahab? English, he could speak. Kon? Gujarati? Chalo, Gujarati. Gujarati also. We'll ask Adam alayhi salam, inshallah. Adam alayhi salam, Umar said, you spoke Gujarati. Urdu. We want to hear you speak Gujarati. Urdu. Arabic to bolo?
Arabic.
Main language is Arabic. So all, when we say he knew the languages, the mother tongue, what is it? The mother languages. What is it? All the mother languages he spoke. That speech was given to Adam alayhi salam. Idris alayhi salam was given the qalam. So Allah is saying, every kind of knowledge that is given to you, even if you are a doctor, that is the mercy of, if you are a pilot, it is the mercy of Allah. Whatever you are, it is the mercy of Allah. Otherwise, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't give you the knowledge, you would have been like animals. How will you communicate? How will you understand everything? But Allah made you very, very different. So Allah is saying, "Allam al-insana ma lam ya'lam." Allah taught insan what he never knew at all. So that is why a person should never be proud. He should never be proud, because whatever you know, that is only the barakat of Allah. Now here is something which is very important. My respected brothers and elders, if you want to send your children to college, to university, then it is important that the foundation of Islam should be very, very strong. The first Iqra should be very strong. The first Iqra. And that is the connection with the Quran and with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That person, that child should be very firmly grounded into his Iman and his Islam, and they must know everything. Subhanallah. Even when the professor or the teacher is saying something which is totally wrong, it's not going to affect that child, because his Iman is completely upon Allah. That is why it's always a risk factor. Islam is not against education, because the second Iqra is about the sciences of this dunya. And that is why the Muslim world excelled in all the different sciences. But now the schools are not there to educate, but to indoctrinate. What are they? Bichari teachers bhi kuch nahi kar sakte. The teachers are also scared. If we don't go according to the timetable, according to what is structured in front of us, what will happen? So it is not about education anymore. It is about indoctrination. It is all about desire. It is all to make you completely faithless. It is all about to remove from you complete haya. See, one is behayai, the things that you see with your eyes. That is damaging. But now behayai by your tongue. When you talk in a way that there is behayai, that there is no shame, this is also very, very dangerous, because this is slowly removing all the haya from you. How you talk, you are exposing the way you're talking, things that are very, very open. You're talking about, you know, private parts, this way, this happens, showing this, all these. Sometimes you'll find, you know, they like to make jokes about things. All of these things are to remove the level of haya, the level of iman from inside you. So that is why, my respected brothers, now we are the last ummah. Last ummah. Imagine how difficult it is for us. We, personally, and many of you here, you know, we are in between. We have seen a time that there was no mobile phones or anything like that. And then we've also seen in the latter part of life that this technology that is there. But what about our children? Imagine what will happen to our children. Imagine their children. So that is why, my respected brothers and elders, our iman and our deen is our savior. We have to really work hard and make an investment. Make an investment in our children. Don't spend money elsewhere, but always look after your flock. Look after your wife. Subhanallah, you know, today they've changed the minds of our women. If a husband is to say to a wife, "Excuse me, I don't like how you dressed. You know, can you dress up a bit decent, modestly?" Astaghfirullah. What do you think I am? You know? Do you think I want to show my body? Of course you want to show your body. Why are you dressed up like that? My heart is clean. Kya kehti hai? My heart is clean. But your heart is clean, but the people's heart, men's hearts are never clean. Jaisa bhi mard hoga, aankhe to jati hi, or honey or money, bhai. Hamesha rakho, honey or money. Honey ke upar aankhe jati hi hai. Especially nowadays, how the women are now. So a husband can't even say to a child anything. He can't even say to the wife, and the wife is not prepared to listen to the husband. Look at the system, how corrupted it is. And then what happens if you say to the wife, "Look, you know what, I don't like you wearing, you know, this kind of clothes. Wear it, okay, I'm not saying you wear a hijab, face veil or anything like that. But be modest in your dressing. Maghrib ke namaz, salaam alaikum, come home." Yeah. What is this? My divorce papers. My divorce papers. I want a divorce. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Divorce papers because the husband wants to tell you how you should dress up. The wife is poisoned to believe that, you know what, my husband is not superior to me, I am equal. The husband becomes a woman and a woman becomes the husband, and to change everything. This is the world that we live in, my respected brothers. And until our Muslim sisters and Muslim men don't understand that this is not the Maulanas. You know, the Maulanas have got nothing to do. We are just pens. We have to talk about what deen is, shariat is. What the hukuk are. What the hukuk are. You know, there was a ajeeb, subhanallah, how our buzrugane deen were. You know, couples, you know, talk about husband and wife. I forgot the name of the city, but alhamdulillah, you know, from the time of Huzur alayhi salam until now, when you look at the Islamic empire, we've had kings that were very, very pious, and kings that were scholars, and kings that had all ulama ashura, and that is why Islam progressed very fast. So there was this one king, as he was traveling, he went to the masjid, and he was praying namaz, and then he looked at him. Everybody knew him, that he is the king of the time. But on the side, there was this young boy, mashallah, 19, 20, praying namaz. And the king was just, you know, fixated at this young boy, looking at him. Subhanallah, what beautiful namaz. How he would go in ruku and how he would go in sajda. And you know, I remember when we were students in Darulum Bari, and we would admire the namaz of our Ustad Maulana Yusuf Mutala Sahib. That ruku that he would perform. Amazing ruku. You know, you'd exercise to get that ruku. Perfect sajda. That just amazing namaz that he would, you know, show. It was natural for him, of course. So this king, Muslim king, is looking at this young boy, loved his namaz. So he said to this wazir, you know, that, "Look, I'm going back to the palace. Call this young boy to the palace." So the wazir waited and he's finished namaz. He says, "You know, the king's calling you." He got scared. "Keep calling me. What did I do wrong? What did I do wrong?" He got scared. He says, "How will I answer the king? What did I do?" He's thinking. He got to the wazir there. He said, the wazir met him. He said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm a student and not a rich guy at all, you know. He says, you know what, I've got a daughter and I want you to marry my daughter. And why did he make this selection? Because of his namaz. The beauty that was there in his namaz. I've got a daughter, I want you to marry my daughter. Are you married? So now he's thinking, he's not married, but if he says no to the king, that would be wrong. And if he says yes also, he's not in the capacity to look after the princess. Ye bichara miskeen, and this lady is a princess. So he says, I don't know what happened to me, I just said, ha bol do yaar. Ha bol do. Usne ha bol diya. Badshah, you know, he's the wali, he holds a high position. Islamic state, he goes, okay, nikah par lenge. Everything was arranged and mashallah, nikah was performed. And you know, it wasn't like you keep somebody as ghar jamai. You know, nowadays what happens, you know, if you come to my house, my daughter's not going to go there, you know, your capacity. So the king actually said to the girl that you'll have to go and live with him. So mashallah, this princess from the palace went to this hut to live, you know, this hut to live. So they were there and mashallah, Ruksati was done and the food, there was hardly any food, but whatever there was, she would prepare it. And one day she prepared the food and the husband said that, the food that is left now, we will have it for breakfast. So save it and put it on the side. So she started to cry. And she started to cry and she started to cry and she started to cry. So bichara ye Romeo kehta hai, look, you know what? I didn't say to your dad that you should marry me. It's really not my fault. I know it's hard for you. You know, that's the food I can afford. But it's your dad who told me that, you know, he wanted you to get married to me. He knew my condition. Mato miskinu. And then, you know, he should not have given you to me to marry. And he's only talking about, you know, his poverty. So after a while, she stops crying. She says, no, you got it completely wrong. I'm not crying at this poverty. I'm crying at the wrong information my father gave me. My father said that, Beti, I am getting you married to a very pious man who is muttaki and he has complete tawakkul on Allah. What did he tell me? I am getting you married to a pious boy who is muttaki and he has tawakkul on. My father said you had tawakkul, reliance on Allah. I am crying that you are telling me that this amount of food, I should save it for the next day. What tawakkul have you got on Allah? That Allah who gave you food now, don't you think He's going to give you food tomorrow? I am crying at that, that subhanallah, you know, what level of iman has he got that he has no reliance on Allah? Ya Allah. Subhanallah. This is the princess. Subhanallah. Kisi ko aisi biwi mil jaye na, to bete kaun paida hote? Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah. Imam Azam Abu Hanifa paida hote. These are the children. And now what happens? Oh, the women are different, the men are different. Even the men are different, even the men are prob. Sometimes the men are wrong, sometimes the women are wrong. Until we don't retune our mindset and bring back to, subhanallah, to the Islamic values. Until a woman does not think that there's anything wrong that my husband is my Amir. And until the man understands that this is my duty, that I must love and be faithful and look after my wife and this is my responsibility and I should show my love to her. Subhanallah al-Azim. So all of these things are given to us, information that is given to us is by wahi. How do we know what is halal to eat? How do we know what is haram to eat? How do we know inheritance? How much is given to who? All by wahi. Read the Quran. The laws of inheritance are in the Quran. So everything has been covered in wahi. For a human being to survive in this dunya, everything has been covered. So that is why, my respected brothers and elders, subhanallah, This ayat-e kareema, the first five verses that were revealed to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we study it, mashallah, just the five ayats are enough for us as information and for our iman to become very, very strong. Iqra. So the foundation should be that your iman, your madrasa, your tawheed, your oneness of Allah, your risalat, your love for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your understanding of halal, haram, your understanding of how important Islam is, that should be firm and very, very strong, grounded. Then if you want to go to college, university, then there is a possibility. But if your iman is not strong, if your love of Allah is not strong, and you are going to throw your child at the deep end, thinking that he is going to become something, you have to be very careful. Allah na kare ki tera beta atheist ban jaye. Allah na kare ki tera beta kuch aur ban jaye. Allah save us. Because these are the fitnas that we are witnessing now. Allah's Nabi said a time will come upon this ummah, in the morning he will be Muslim, in the evening he will be kafir. In the night he will be a Muslim, in the morning he will become a... Imagine the fitnas that are going to come. So it's not about having, you know, knowledge of everything. The greatest knowledge is to be connected to wahi and revelation. If that wahi and revelation is intact inside us, my respected brothers, insha'Allah ta'ala, we will be fine. You know, it's not about being traditional. It's not about being, it's about following the teachings of Islam. Allah's Nabi, whatever he has said, there is khair in there. Whatever he said, there is khair in there. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, he used to have a habit of reading 100 rakats in the night. How many? Being a mufti, a faqih, thousands of ulama were working under him, and then he could still find 100 rakats in the night. And one day, because he was so famous, you know, and you hear people talking about, so Imam Sahib says, you know, and he was a businessman also, can you imagine that? With business. So he says, some of the people at the back, Muslims, were saying, Imam Abu Hanifa, he reads 200 rakats in the night. How many?
200
rakats. You know, some people say, he heard it. He said, and then he went home and he says, Ya Allah, my Muslim brother is thinking I read 200, but in reality I'm weak, I'm not even reading, I'm only reading 100 rakats. Just to look after the call of that Muslim brother, Imam Abu Hanifa started reading, whenever he had the time, 200 rakats in the night. Look at how these people were, my respected brothers. Look at the love they had. Look at the sincerity they had. Look how they would practice the amal of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever he said. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. You know, these majalis are so important. Can you imagine the seerah? You are sitting here, I know it is from Asr to Maghrib, mashallah. But what you take inside here are, mashallah, strings that are going to hold your iman very, very tight. It will save you from fitna. It is the teachings and the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so the more people that come, even more youth, a lot of the youth have questions, bring them to the masjid. I speak to the imam. Have you got any questions? Come and talk to the imam. Talk to him. Speak to the imams. Instead of speaking to other people who don't understand what is Islam, speak to the right people. So they will give you the right answers. So we need to really work hard as a team to make sure that, alhamdulillah, we have more people that are coming and more people that are benefiting. Allah give us all the tawfiq. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Sami'na wa ata'na ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.